You're listening to Greater LA, KCRW's show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The place, Baja Sharky Sports Bar in Hermosa Beach. It's still happy hour, but you wouldn't know it from the somber faces staring at the big screen TVs. The place is filled with dozens of diehard Dodgers fans. They're watching their team play game 4 of the division series against the Washington Nationals. And it's not looking good. The Blue Crew is down 6-1 going into the top of the 7th. The crowd is deflated. But it hasn't given up, because these are the truest of the true blue Dodger fans. Pantone 294. And hope springs eternal for Patricia Rivero, known as Pantone Patty. She's watching with her hands clasped in front of her, as if she's in prayer, as the Dodgers load the bases.
I don't know. I'm trying
to be. Two innings left.
I know. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but I don't know.
Dodgers are down 6-1. It's the top of the 7th. Bases are loaded. One out.
I mean, anything can happen. So I'm hoping. I'm hoping they pull it off.
Joc Pederson steps up to the plate.
Let's see if he has a hit in him.
He cracks a line drive over first base. The ball lands an agonizing inch outside the foul line. The air is electric. The Dodgers could close the gap by 4 runs with a single swing. Another pitch, Pederson makes contact again, but the ball dribbles into the hands of a Nationals fielder. It's a weak ground out, and the crowd deflates again. A couple more innings, and it's over. Yes, the Dodgers lost that game, and Pantone Patty will have to take her stress and prayers to tonight's Game 5. Because tonight, it's do-or-die time. Whichever team wins moves on to the National League Championship Series. The losers get an early vacation. If there are Dodger fans who are more off the charts than Pantone 294, I clearly haven't experienced them yet. Pantone, you may know, is the company that matches specific colors with numbers. The number 294 is Dodger Blue. And these folks are so hardcore that they actually organize trips to go to Dodger away games. Washington, Chicago, Canada, Mexico.
Well, you know, it's so weird. Pantone started in L.A. and it's grown across the United States.
Desiree Garcia is basically Pantone's management team rolled into one.
Now about 75% of our trip goers are from, you know, Southern California. However, a good 30 to 25% of them are from all over the United States and abroad. And it's just, it's one of those things where I think no matter if they're winning or they're losing, they just want to go and have a good time amongst like-minded people. So it's amazing that they travel so well.
On this night, despite being down all game, the mood is not entirely somber. For one thing, it's bang-up business for Cody Lauterbach, who manages Baja Sharkies. And the Dodgers' usual winning ways have been good for business.
That's right. We've been blessed. The Dodgers have been division champs for 6 years in a row now, 7 years in a row now. And we've been blessed to ride that wave, but, you know, sometimes you're in a rock and a hard place, but you got to stick true to your team, because when they win, you win.
And yeah, the Dodgers have made it into the playoffs 6 years in a row, but they haven't won the World Series in 31 years. Pantone 294 are true believers, but ask Pantone Patty, losing's hard. And watching your team give up a big game like this one takes a lot out of you.
Patty, how do you feel? Talk to me.
How do you feel? I'm upset.
I mean, I heard you screaming angst just a moment ago. As the game was over, pop fly into right field.
Yeah, I'm disappointed.
You think they come back? That just means, stadium.
Yes, and that's just going to be a very, very stressful game, because it's a win it or go home. So it's a must win. Gotta win it. Stressful. It's gonna be a nail biter.
Are you gonna go to that game?
I don't know.
Do you wanna go to that game?
Yes. But in a way, I'm saving my money for a World Series, because World Series tickets are gonna be very expensive.
The good news, as Patty says, is that tonight the boys in blue will be back at Chavez Ravine. and Pantone 294 will be doing everything in their power to keep the excitement and the good times going.
Let's go, Dodgers! Let's go, Dodgers! Let's go, Dodgers! That's all I can give you. I'm pretty mad right now.
You're ever hopeful.
Okay.
Thank you, Patty.
Ever hopeful she is. And you know, the Greek word for hopeful is elpidophoros. And coming straight from Mount Olympus, where he's been consulting about tonight's game, is Petros Papadakis, co-host of the Petros and Money Show on AM 570 LA Sports. Yasu, Petros.
Yesterday, I was down in Delphi at the Oracle.
You were?
And when the Oracle consumed the fumes of knowledge, she came out with nothing. I got
nothing.
No clue.
You got no clue.
Nothing.
So you still don't, have no prognostication for tonight?
No, I could see it going either way. I mean, the Dodgers have had one of the most storied seasons, if not the most storied season in their history up to this point. They've won more games than they ever have in franchise history. That franchise has been around a long time, starting in Brooklyn. So I think there's going to be a lot of tightness tonight, a lot of trepidation, and a lot of people worrying about the outcome, because you got a really good pitcher going for the Nationals who's been mowing the Dodgers down, and Steven Strasburg. He's facing a very young but very confident, very capable young guy in Walker Buehler, and it's going to be a nail-biter, I think, all night. If the Dodgers blow him out and have one of those 10-run celebrations, you know, in one of these innings, then I think the whole city will breathe a pretty big sigh of relief. But up until that moment, or until the Dodgers secure a really tight victory, I think people are really, really nervous about this one.
If the Dodgers, Petros, had an Achilles heel, there we go with the Greek stuff again, it's the bullpen, right? The game stays close into late innings. Is that where, do you think, the Dodgers will be vulnerable?
I mean, the Nationals have the worst bullpen in the major leagues, and that's really been, you know, their Achilles heel. They've been worse than Achilles. They've been like Hector's body being dragged back and forth, you know, by the chariot around the walls of Troy. I mean, they have a terrible bullpen. But, you know, when it comes to this point in the postseason, you know, the Dodgers bullpen is very likely Clayton Kershaw tonight. You know, if Walker Buehler starts to falter and it's do or die, there is no tomorrow. So, but I really think the bullpen tonight is Clayton Kershaw. And Dave Roberts said yesterday in his conference call with the media that no pitcher is unavailable.
If like 300 drachmas are riding on all this, Petros, which by the way is about a buck,
yeah.
Who wins the game?
To quote my friend, Bill Plaschke, from the LA Times, all the advantage and all the pressure is on the Dodgers. You know, the Nationals, though they have a great pitching staff, were never supposed to be here. They're kind of a ragtag bunch, remember? And frankly, have really nothing to lose. The Dodgers are the ones that have the expectation riding on them, but they are at home. The real problem this postseason has been, and I know they sound like a boy band, but Corey Seager and Cody Bellinger. Corey and Cody, they've not come through, and especially Bellinger, who's had an MVP season, one of the great seasons in the history of Dodger baseball. They need a performance from those guys. Maybe they don't to win tonight, but they're going to need performances from those guys if they're going to win it all.
If they're going to win it all, but they have to get through tonight. Game time 5:37, Petros Papadakis, co-host of the Petros and Money Show on AM 570 LA Sports. Petros, Yasu.
Kalispera, have a great one, and good luck to the Dodgers.
Well, we'll see what happens in our house tonight. Again, game time 5:37. Coming up on this program, getting help for seniors who are on the verge of homelessness in the high-rent city of Santa Monica. You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
You're back with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. If you've lived in Los Angeles for any period of time, you know how expensive it is to rent a place. Well, in Santa Monica, as well as some other cities, rent control can actually keep those costs lower. But imagine that you've lived in your place for decades and then a big medical bill hits, savings run low, and you can't even make your way below market rent. That's what Pierre de Villandry was facing.
I had a very bad motorcycle accident, so the career was completely broken.
Your career as a violinist?
The career as a violinist, absolutely. I didn't, and then all of a sudden, you know, when you don't work, when you don't have any income, it just goes away.
And with no money for rent, well, you know what happens next. De Villandry is a senior, and seniors are falling into homelessness faster than any other demographic. That's why the city of Santa Monica started a pilot program giving out money directly to low-income seniors every month so they don't lose their homes. It went so well in its first year, the city plans on expanding it this year from a couple dozen seniors to a couple hundred. KCRW reporter Kaylee Wells has been following Santa Monica's Preserving Our Diversity program. That's what it's called, and she joins us right now. Hey, Kaylee.
Hey, Steve.
So this sounds a lot like universal basic income to me. Hasn't the city of Stockton here in California also been doing something like this?
Yeah, Stockton's actually the first city in the U.S., but there's a lot of cities worldwide trying it out. They've started with about $500 a month per resident, maybe 130 residents this year, so they're still early. Santa Monica's program, though, not as much because it's specifically for seniors. Their program, it's only about 22 homes right now, and it's not the same flat payment to everyone. Some are getting $200, some are getting as many as $700. It really just depends on what each senior needs.
So it's a specific target demographic. How did they come up with this program? I mean, why seniors specifically?
Well, as you mentioned, Steve, seniors are the fastest growing group that are becoming homeless. They're financially insecure. The baby boomer generation, they're having fewer pension plans than their parents did, and their divorce rates are pretty high. That also means financial insecurity. And if you've lived somewhere for decades and you're forced out, it's not like you can just go from Santa Monica to West LA. If you have a rent control apartment for $800 a month in Santa Monica, if you're trying to move to West LA, it's still going to be like $2,000 now.
You're not going to find an $800 apartment in West LA.
Right. It's just not that simple. So Santa Monica is trying to preserve its economic diversity, and this is kind of the way they're trying to do that. Director Andy Agle with the city's Department of Housing and Economic Development said it was a pretty simple way to achieve that goal.
Anytime somebody leaves that apartment, then the rent goes to these very aggressive rents that apartment owners can command in Santa Monica. And so we started thinking about this. If there was some way that we could keep people in their apartments, it actually means that we're keeping that housing affordable and we're also helping our community be more economically diverse. Who's most likely struggling the most? And it's likely folks that have been here a long time, who've been able to take advantage of not suffering the huge rent increases, and that they are likely in a place that just a few hundred dollars a month can make a huge difference in their quality of life.
And some of these participants, Steve, their quality of life was pretty bad before this program came around. Some of them were eating every other day, or one participant, Agle told me, was just eating lentils in order to pay their rent. Or some hadn't had their eyes or teeth checked in decades. So the city's hoping the subsidy might be able to help with that.
All right. So how does it work, Kaylee? How did they pick the people that got to be in the program?
Well, they just started reaching out to low-income seniors that are in rent-controlled apartments in the city. Here's Pierre de Villandry, who we listened to earlier.
And the city of Santa Monica said, me a letter saying that, well, we have this fantastic POD program, the POD, and if you are not making enough income, just let us know and let us hear about it, and we would love to hear your comments. And I said, wonderful, because I needed the money. And, you know, without this program, I'll tell you honestly, I would be on the street.
So Andy Agle says they got several hundred responses from those letters that they sent out. And then from there, they looked at how long the people had been in their apartments, how old they were. Obviously, you have to be 65 or older. And then they whittled it down to about 22 households who got to participate in the pilot program.
So then how did they decide how much money that those folks needed?
So they looked at this index that UCLA has that determines how much a senior needs in order to survive in different counties in LA. And they took those different factors and then they modified it for the city of Santa Monica. So then they figured out the difference between what each of these participants has and how much they need to live in Santa Monica. And then that's the figure that they're getting in that check every month.
And I mentioned, Kaylee, at the outset that, the program was so popular that the city now wants to expand it. Tell us about that.
That's right. So there's 22 households in this pilot program, and that costs the city about $200,000. So the city council approved now they're going to spend $2 million on the program. So that's going to include anywhere from 200 to 400 households next year, depending on how much each one needs.
So it's increasing tenfold.
That's what they're saying.
In essence, yeah. How would other low-income seniors in Santa Monica get into the program? If someone's hearing us right now and they're like, hey, I want in on this.
Yeah, so we'll starting November 4th, you can register to apply online or by phone. And then if you are over 65, if you've been living in Santa Monica for at least 20 years, and if you make under the income threshold, then the city will send you an application that you can fill out. And then from there, you're just picked random by a lottery.
So it's a game of chance.
Well, a little bit.
A little bit of a game of chance. The pilot program has been going on now for a little more than a year. How's it doing? I mean, how do other residents in Santa Monica feel? I mean, free money for some people, but maybe not you.
Well, Santa Monica residents seem to be pretty supportive. They've received nothing but positive responses. That's what Eagle says. But also, the voters passed a quarter-cent sales tax, and that's supposed to support affordable housing programs just like this one. But Steve, even though it's cheaper than building new affordable housing, it's not a forever solution. So rent control, for example, even though that caps how much rents can go up, it can still go up a couple percentage points every year. So they haven't decided whether seniors are going to be able to get a little bit more money every year as their rent goes up. And then beyond that, it only works as long as the seniors stay in place. So if they do move or if they pass away, the landlords are allowed to bring their apartments up to market value. So it decreases the number of apartments that would qualify in this program over time. So
through attrition like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's inexpensive, but it's not really a long-term solution.
All right. KCRW's Kaylee Wells reporting for us. Kaylee, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, moving now from seniors to young people and how they deal with housing. Imagine trying to go out on your own after leaving your parents' house in a place where the average apartment rents for well over $2,000 a month. Well, in an effort to attract the thriftier renter, some entrepreneurs came up with so-called co-living developments. Co-living means a lot of people in not a lot of space, each paying hundreds of dollars a month for their own bed or maybe even a small bedroom, and then sharing everything else, such as a bathroom, living rooms, kitchens, gyms, pools. It's a trade-off a lot of young folks in California say they're willing to make. Frances Anderton is host of KCRW's Design and Architecture. She's visited some of these co-living spaces, as it were, and she joins me now to talk about them. Hello, Frances.
Hello, Steve.
Tell us more about these places. What are they like?
Let's just say that there's a range. At one end of the spectrum, you might find yourself in something that's essentially a little pod within a loft-like room within a warehouse-type building where you might be paying something like $600 a month, right through to there's a type that we've visited that's called co-house. These are what this company's doing is they're taking single-family homes. They are subdividing those into multiple rooms. You then share a nice dining room, a lovely patio area. These are rather sort of high concept, very slick design. Then opening next month, it's our first ground-up co-living development. That will be something perhaps like a bit of a boutique hotel. It might feel like you're going to have your own bedroom, but you're going to share a rooftop space. You're going to share, there's going to be an art space, podcasting and recording studios provided. You're taking something that is akin to a multi-unit apartment building, but you're sort of shrinking the sleeping area and you're expanding the shared area. And then you're even overlaying some level of structure on how the group of tenants all coexist. So there might be planned dining nights.
Dinners that someone else buys for you.
Dinners that you, Steve, on a periodic basis would actually have to cook. The managers of the building might take a portion of your rent that goes towards the groceries budget for the regular dinner that will be cooked by a different member of the household. But the idea that underlies all of them is that one, people want to pay less rent, and two, LA is a lonely place and it's hard to meet people. And perhaps we've made our lives even more isolated. And so this is a means to create community while perhaps slightly shrinking your rental bill.
This sounds to me a little bit like a dormitory, right? But at least with a hotel, you get your own bathroom. Do people get their own bathrooms in places like this?
Again, it varies. And for some, co-house, treehouse, absolutely yes. However, some of those that are oriented towards the 10 people in a pod in a room, no, you don't get your own bathroom.
And they're very, I guess, selective about the people who they want to include in this. So I saw some of them make you apply with an essay or a video. You're actually auditioning for this.
Well, essentially, yes. And the way that some of these are working, and they're all fairly new to the market, so they're all kind of in a testing phase. Essentially, the landlord will make the choice of the first few residents, and then they're letting those residents have a say in the next lot of residents.
That sounds like a reality show.
Yes, except rather than being sort of voted off the island, you might be voted onto the island. So let's hear from Brent Gaisford, who is a co-owner of Treehouse, which, as I say, is the new one that's coming online. People will be starting to move in the coming weeks.
The same things as a normal apartment, plus then a set of questions that are really designed to see, you know, if this is something that you want to do and give people an opportunity to talk about themselves and how they see themselves both contributing to the community and what they see getting out of it.
My question, Francis Anderton, is this out of necessity or is this out of choice? Like, we want it to be this way.
I really think it's a mixture. I think for some people, staying in a pod in a room with 10 other people is possibly has a limit. I think something like Treehouse, where you do have your own room and you're living in a city where it really is genuinely hard to find friends, I think it's probably extremely attractive. Brent Gaisford, again, the co-owner of Treehouse, has thought deeply about his own motivation for getting involved with co-creating a co-living space. And it has to do with a sense that in our sort of digitized universe, we have kind of created cities that are somewhat isolating, that this might be the answer.
Along the way, we've used a lot of our money to buy isolation. I don't think that's something that's made us happy or helped our society connect and share ideas and have a public discourse.
What are some of, I mean, I know these places are competing by providing these amenities, as you say. What kind of amenities are we talking about besides the dinners and the movies and the things that go with everybody getting together?
Well, it really varies. As I say, there's a group called Upstart Creative, and their co-living spaces are aimed at people that want to break into Hollywood. So they're offering photo shoots and acting classes. And then you at Treehouse, you have an art and ceramic studio and a podcasting and recording studio.
And you've got yoga.
Oh, yoga, yes. And then, you know, the barbecue on the roof. So these are echoing what is already appearing in a lot of multi-unit apartment buildings, the shared roof space, the boutique hotel type quality, but then they're adding on even more.
Francis Anderton, who hosts DNA, Design and Architecture here at KCRW. Francis, thank you.
You're very welcome, Steve.
All right, let's do the weather.
Let it rain. Stuck in colder weather.
Here comes the sun.
All the leaves are brown. All the leaves are brown.
It's a raining man. Hallelujah, it's a raining man.
Yeah. If you're headed to the Dodgers game tonight, there are going to be a lot of guys on the field, and you're going to get your fill of beautiful weather tonight if you are headed there for the National League Division Series Game 5, do or die for the Blue Crew. Temperatures low 60s tonight. Obviously, take the hoodie. If you got a jersey on, maybe layer tonight. Into the upper 50s we go as we get into the ninth inning later tonight. A bit of a warming trend over the next few days, and as we've mentioned, Santa Ana winds for the next couple of days. The power could go off. We're talking about SoCal Edison saying as many as 150,000 people could lose power. Planned power outages just in case those winds to offset any possibility of fires, wildfires. And we know they're doing it in Northern California, so beware of that. Temperatures 80s tomorrow and then back into the 70s this weekend. We're at 70 right now downtown LA at KCRW. Thanks for being with us today. Coming up next on KCRW, It's all the president's lawyers, Josh Barrow, Ken White, the latest on impeachment of the president. Tomorrow on this program, a group of caregivers that help for a small fee in the Filipino community. Jenna Cagle, Kaylee Wells, Sonia Geis, Phil Richards, Ray Guarna, PJ Shahami, Christine Comito, and Christian Bordahl are all instrumental in getting our show on the air. We're online at kcrw.com/greaterLA. Subscribe to the podcast. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for the ear. Go Dodgers. Have a great day.